more sauce. Open pit bar, bar.
My wooden leg is in the well.
Open pit barbecue sauce.
Running Hulk.
More
Hulk
sauce. Running. Open pit barbecue sauce.
Slow speed. Deep owls. Owls. Owls look
open
like cats
pit
with
barbecue
wings.
Sauce.
Oh, sorry, John Hodgman here with Jonathan Colton. We were just doing some vocal exercises and some diction exercises to get ready for today's transmission. You can probably hear in the background we are no longer on the Trident, Jonathan Colton's opulent and secret submarine. Unfortunately, we had a problem with the submarine. It ran out of windshield wiper fluid, and a porpoise got clogged in a place it shouldn't, and at any rate, it's got to be serviced here, so we've moored briefly in here on Roosevelt Island in the shadow of the great ruined insane asylum that's down here, where I've come before when I need some time to myself and peace and quiet. It's also a good place where we can plug in our equipment and transmit to you briefly a little bit of what's coming up and what's happened in the past with the Little Gray Book Lectures.
Yeah, this place is very relaxing. It's a good place to come and sort of unwind, but it is also a little bit creepy.
Yeah. Also, remind me, last time I was here, I hid some Nutter Butters somewhere around here. So.
Oh, the Nutter Butter cache. I forgot about that.
I'm going to get some of those
All right.
later on.
Yeah, I'm hungry.
Yeah, and I've got a little bit of a cold, and Nutter Butters are very good for the throat, you know?
Yeah.
Just particularly if you're going to be transmitting via radio.
They coat and soothe.
Absolutely. So one of the things that I wanted to bring to your attention on this particular podcast was a Little Gray Book lecture on the subject of how to negotiate all kinds of deals and contracts. You know, the Little Gray Book lectures, we hope, are entertaining and maybe cause you to laugh or to cry or to think and ponder silently for a while and then cry. But we also hope to instruct and give you some useful information that you can apply in your everyday life. And this lecture on negotiation really focused on that. We had a number of experts in negotiation come and speak to us about that fine and vanishing art of getting people to do what you want them to do, including a musical organ salesman and someone who had bought and sold a fair amount of cars, a reasonable amount of cars.
Yeah.
A fair amount.
Fair.
Yeah.
And fair to reasonable.
As well, this fellow who you're about to hear was Dale DeGroff, who is the, of course, probably the world's premier mixologist and expert on the cocktail, its history, and making. And he would occasionally come to the Little Gray Book lectures to make cocktails for everyone or talk about that. And he was also someone who was the bartender at the Bel Air Hotel for a while, got to know a lot of famous Hollywood personages in this case. He tells a story about Harry Nielsen, a guy who enjoyed his cognacs, particularly before negotiating.
I can still remember the day that Harry had been nursing several of these prior to an appointment with a film producer, Robert Evans. For some reason, Harry's attorney wasn't available, so he spent the afternoon, as he often did, sitting at the bar with phone and cognac, taking care of business. Anticipating the meeting with Bob, Harry turned to Victor Gonzalez and proposed that Victor pretend to be his attorney at the meeting with these following instructions. Never answer any direct question with yes or no. Instead, shake your head negatively without saying anything and glance at me. Or indicate that it needs to be discussed privately with your client. Appear to be negative about everything they offer, but indicate at the end that it was a very profitable and useful meeting and we're very close. Based on this successful meeting with the attorney and Victor, Harry got the deal to do the score for the music for the movie Popeye. True story.
Dale DeGroff, everyone. Thank you. Thank you, Dale. Now, can anyone spot the critical error that Harry Nielsen made in his negotiations? Okay, here's the answer. If at the end of any negotiation you are obligated to work in any way on the motion picture Popeye, You should start over.
Luckily, we kept the portable aquaphone with us. We didn't, we managed to salvage that from the ship.
Yeah, we're going to have to get some more porters, though, because it is very heavy.
Yeah, the 15 that we have are just not enough.
Yeah.
I need 8 porters myself just to carry my enormous bulk around.
Well, it's just our emergency entourage. It's not the whole thing.
Right. Recruited. These are our rogues and blackguards recruited from the bottom tier of navies from around the world.
Yes.
Who, you know, had given up their loyalty to their native countries in order to come serve you in your crusade against the surface world.
And we have 5 or 6 Ronin as well.
Yeah, technically not naval officers, but masterless.
Not yet.
I don't see much hope for them, actually, because...
Well, fingers crossed.
So one of the things you're going to hear next is the famous Stefania laugh. You may have heard this in previous podcasts, but there is a regular audience member who we don't know personally. We imagine that her name might be Stefania.
She looks like a Stefania.
She looks like a Stefania, definitely, because of the shirt that says Stefania on it, for example. And also, her haircut is very Stefania-esque. Anyway, she's got a very distinctive laugh, and if you can hear it, if you hear it right, listen carefully, and we'll play it for you right now. That may sound familiar to you from some of the other things we've played before, and you're going to hear it again in this upcoming lecture, which comes to us from Bobby Hager, who was a musical organ salesman and brought his musical organ. That sounds rather dirty, doesn't it?
It is a little dirty.
Well, it's a sad story about Bobby Hager selling organs in malls to people who did not need organs. And I do not mean the illicit organ trade.
Although that is also deplorable.
You gotta do what you gotta do. You know?
I guess that's true.
You've got a crew of rogue former naval enlisted men to feed.
Right, but we don't need organs. We're traveling on a submarine all this time. We don't need organs.
But you need to raise money.
Not for organs.
And you can't go around selling porpoise livers to hospitals and not expect to get caught after a while.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I'm not saying the illicit human organ trade is something that I personally support, but...
Right.
I know that you do it, and you should be stopped.
Fair enough. I guess we'll agree to disagree on this one.
I guess so. Bobby Hager.
Mr. Hager, we'll give you some tips tonight about buying an electric piano or organ. I have nothing to say about this myself, except I would like to say this. Be sure that the organ comes with a monkey. Sometimes they will dress a cat up in a bellhop outfit and only show it to you from a distance and hope you won't notice. Mr. Hager is the director of publishing at the American National Standards Institute, an important national institute that sets standards for things. For more information on this, you will have to consult with Mr. Hager. Please join me in welcoming Bobby Hager.
I'm over here. Wow. That's quite an intro. My mother used to say at Christmas, don't get too excited. So, that'd pretty much be the theme I'm running with. There's a lot of people here. There's a lot of people. It's a good thing I took some extra doggy downers. Get these hotshot musicians backing me up here. I find that the older I get, the more I realize that the tragic humiliations of my youth start to bring sort of a tinge of lightheartedness. And I'm hoping that some of that comes out this evening. I'm here to give you a mini treatise on the negotiation and sales strategies in the relentlessly brutal profession that is electronic music organ sales. First, a little background. It's 1985, a fresh college grad. All my pals are going down to New York to go into, I guess, Chase Manhattan training programs. And me, I am a junior, assistant sales executive at the Lowry Piano and Organ Company, stationed at Washington Square Mall in Indianapolis, Indiana. This was a great mall. It wasn't just any mall, because you had two great anchors. You had JCPenney, and you had Sears. But best of all, you had the Chick-fil-A chicken store. The best thing about the Chick-fil-A store was that every morning the chicken man would come out in his regalia, you know, brilliant yellows, searing pinks, oranges, all colors. And he would dance around and lure people into the chicken store. Well, the thing is that I came to envy this man, Bird. And I think you'll understand why. So, also, just to give you another background thing, the outfit, I know I'm pretty tragically hip here. But at the time, I had a JCPenney brown pinstripe suit with a vest and black running shoes. So, things have looked up since then. So now you have the setting. Now I want to give you a little treatise on the sales and negotiation process. It's very precise and scientific. It's a method that's been proven over millennia, really. The first portion of it is the demo. And this is consistent and relentless. And it works every time. You do it the same time, every time. The scene is you're positioned at the front of the store. I know you probably saw these people in malls. I was that guy, sadly. Positioned at the front, you're on a little platform. You've got the Lowry G500 there, which is the loss leader. Okay? And you're playing your big hits, the big whopper hits. And you spy a target. There's a little gathering of sort of large mall people. And you spy a target, and you beckon him over, and you say, "Looks like fun, doesn't it?" He idles over, and then you hit him with the big three. This is your fish. You got to get him. So you hit him with the big three. And how do you, get the hook in the mouth right off the bat with the big whopper, and that would be big band. Yeah. And. Hey. Now you give them the big ending. This killed them. Okay. Now, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's big. Now you got them on the hook. Now you got to reel them in. So it's time to go south of the border. You got him. You got him. Now you really got to. Yeah, thank you. My mother would be so proud, but she doesn't remember what her hand looks like, so I can't really tell her. Okay, so now you got him. Mom, I'm sorry, Mom. She held me in my arms. So now you got to go for the jugular. This is the big merciless push here. You got them. But you got to get them to play, you see. Because the first objection they always have is, of course, well, you know, you're a musician. You can read music. I can't read a note. You can play. And that's when you say the big 1-2 punch. This worked every time. Do you know your colors? Do you know your colors? And they say yes. And you say, do you have two fingers? This is sometimes you'd run into these farm accident equipment people, and it was a little touch and go because we were in a farming area. But so you had to kind of. But most people had the colors, and they had the fingers pretty much under control. So what you do is go back to the big hitter, you know, the big band world, and you'd get them to play. Now it ends up being a bit tedious, okay, as you'll see in a moment. Okay, so you're also trying to talk them through this with the. yellow, blue, and red keys to match the yellow, blue, and red in the book. Okay, so this is kind of what they'd sound like. All the time I'm saying, you're getting it, you're getting it, that's good. That's good, you're sounding like an orchestra. That's it, do I hear an orchestra? Okay, well that goes on for about 2 hours. I used to get in trouble a little because I would veer off of the repertoire, the standard repertoire. And I'd get into religious and ethnic stuff, you know, shalom, havirim, shalom, havirim, shalom, shalom. And they would come out and kick the shit out of me, Greg Chimaya, the manager. I almost lost my job a couple times over that. But, okay, so we got them. We got the demo done. Next step, the step up. Okay, so there's the Lowry G150, the lost leader. You got to get them up to the big 500 with the magic genie fingers. So you get them over there and you sell them on that. You're gone from $1,500 to $25,000 from an organ. For an organ. Unbelievable. Okay, so you got the guy up. Now the big key thing is move him back in the store. This is what they taught us. Get him back in the store, because the deeper you have him in the store, the more likely it is you can close them. I'm not quite sure why. I guess it's because they thought it was their home or something. So you get him in the office and you start negotiating the deals. We learned all these at the Lowry Sales Executive Training Program in Naperville, Illinois. And yes. So you got your free lessons and your free songbooks, both scams. You got the pay cash today. No one has cash, but you give it a try. Can you pay cash today? You do the manager thing. Yeah, you know, I don't want to make a fool out of myself. You know, are you really going to do this today? Because I don't want to humiliate myself and go in and talk to my manager and look like a fool. So you have to be serious about this G500. Are you serious? That gets them every time. Then we have the tag team thing, tag team. You know, I'm the rookie, and then Greg Chimaya, the big manager, comes by and closes. You know, he could sell an organ to a camel, I think. The guy, he always said, you never let a customer walk out of the store without an organ. It's like, I'm telling you, pal, there's a lot of people who don't want organs. Okay? I tried to explain it to him. And then when the chips were really down, we go to the excess inventory in the back. And Greg would write on, sold Jones, sold Smith, sold Christmas. And you just, you know, hoodwink them that way. So that tends to work as well, although I never did that, of course, because that's evil. So now we get to financing. This is the real ecstasy. You're all pumped. Your adrenaline's going. You can see that you can sort of feel and taste the $26 commission you're going to get from this. And they start to do out this credit app. They get out this credit app, and they do the name first. That's going well. They do the address, and then we start to go downhill. So, you know, there's a P.O. box or it's a YMCA or something. And they say, well, do you have any credit cards? And they say, Sears, but it's expired. Your employer, in between opportunities. Any loans of any kind? None. This would be our first. They smile at each other, the couple. This would be our first, they say excitedly. $25,000 loan they want. So I have to submit these applications to HFC, and then you wait for them to laugh at you back on the phone. And then the killer is, after they've turned this down, Greg, the manager, comes back and he says, step them down to a 150. They can afford a 150. Step them back down to a 150. And I said, are you out of your mind? Take a guy from a G150 down, a G500 down to a G150? It's not going to happen. But he put me in this position over and over again. So in the end, I pretty much sucked at this. I didn't make any money. I made minimum wage, pretty much. But my triumph in negotiating, I guess, really, was getting the hell out of there. After 9 months of grueling hell, I pulled every privileged wasp string I had, and my cousin actually owned the company, so that helped. And I headed off, won my freedom, and headed to Chicago. But before I left, I took a last stand against all those cha-chas and big bands and polkas. And I tried to give them a feeling for what my soul was really all about. So I'm going to try to give you a feeling for that now. You get up every morning, and your alarm clock's warning to the 8:15 into the city. There's a whistle up above, people pushing, people shoving, and the girls who want to look pretty. And if the trains on time. You can get to work by 9 and start your saving job to get your pay. If you ever get annoyed, look at me, I'm self-employed. I love to work at nothing all day, and I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business, it's all mine, taking care of business, working all the time, work out.
So did you hear the Stefania laugh, Jonathan?
I heard it, yeah. I don't know if our audience heard it.
I think there are some people who are physically incapable of hearing it because it is so incredibly high-pitched.
Yeah.
So there are some people who, when they're giving a lecture and they hear the laugh, which truthfully can occur at any moment, sometimes I don't even know if she's listening to the actual lecture.
Yeah.
But when you hear that laugh, it'll stop some people in their tracks and they'll turn to ghostly white.
Yeah.
Whereas other people won't hear it at all.
Right.
They'll just keep reading.
Right.
Because they don't have good hearing.
It's a creepy, creepy thing.
For a creepy place, after all, here we are in the abandoned insane asylum.
Yeah.
Was it an insane asylum or just a hospital for poor people?
I'm not sure. I think it was one and then it became the other.
Well, let me tell you, you'd have to be crazy to be poor and living on Roosevelt Island.
Yes, yes,
which is
would.
Technically part of New York City.
Right. They should build a hospital, they used to say.
For the poor people.
For the crazies.
On Welfare
poor
Island.
Poor crazies.
This used to be called Welfare Island, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Then they named it to Roosevelt after there was no more poverty.
Right. Yeah.
And I guess that it was decided that it was somewhat inconsiderate to take all the poor people and put them on an island.
Yeah.
With a hospital on it.
Right. If you took
a ruined hospital on it.
Well, that's the weird thing. A ruined, creepy hospital for poor people? That doesn't seem right.
I just not forget moral reasons. It just seems unsanitary.
Yeah, I don't know how you can get better in a place like this.
With the wind whipping through and
yeah,
chilling your bones.
Yeah.
And no proper needle disposal boxes.
I mean, we're fine because we're covered with animal skins. But
right.
I don't know what poor people do.
Another thing you heard in that lecture was the punk rock karaoke band. Our friends in the punk rock heavy metal karaoke band, Devin Emke, Rob Kemp, and Dave Richmond.
Yes.
As well as Jonathan Colton on the little stringy instrument. What was that called?
The mandolin.
Mandoline?
Mandolin.
It has an E on the end, does it not?
No.
Oh, that's what you use to cut vegetables.
Yeah.
Punk rock karaoke, heavy metal karaoke, of course, have recently been deposed from their throne at a bar that shall go unnamed and are now playing at the Continental Bar.
Yes.
On 3rd Avenue
and
on certain nights of the week.
It is important to note that they are the original New York punk rock karaoke.
That's right. They're now called the original, the O-P-R-H-M...
K-B.
K-B. Or... for short, Old Dirty Bastard.
Right.
Right. As we leave you this week, I hope you will tune in again next week. I don't know where we'll be on our long journey to Williamsburg, but I'm sure it'll be an exciting location. And then, of course, on February 24th, we will finally be arriving at Galapagos in Williamsburg at 7:30 p.m. to bring you our next Little Gray Book lecture, number 30, on the subject of How to Observe President's Day Observed. Hope to see you then. Until then, my wooden leg is in the well.
Open pit barbecue sauce. Open pit barbecue. Oh,
that doesn't. A man, a plan, a man-made canal. Sasquatches eat oysters under shores. Sasquatches.
That's not
true. Sasquatches never eat oysters.